It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world of something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies, feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
I was just going over some of the recent basketball news to come out because teams are having media days this week and certainly next week as well. The Rockets, I believe, there is on Monday. Like, if you're a fan of the Nets, you're already in a bad way. So since the promise of having KD, Kyrie, and James Harden on your team, it's been bad. It's been bad to be a Nets fan. How about when your big acquisition this offseason lets the world know, yeah, I'm taking it year by year. Like Michael Porter Jr., beyond all the stuff he says that are non-basketball related that gets him in a little bit of trouble, he references his injuries and says he doesn't know how much longer he really wants to play. If you're a Nets fan, you got to be like, what are we doing? people think we lost that trade anyway, trading why am I blanking on this?
Cam Johnson,
yeah, they're... Most people thought we lost that trade, and now this guy's telling us before the year begins, you know what, I'm not really sure. You know, I could quit at any time. I'm taking it year by year. Oh, thanks, MPJ. Appreciate it. We know we're not going to be good. Cam Thomas took the qualifying offer because we wouldn't pay him because he's just going to bet on himself, and he can be an unrestricted free agent. You are supposed to be the guy who might be not a centerpiece. You're not good enough for that, but a player to help build around. And you're like, yeah, you know what? I'm never really sure how much basketball I want to play. Cool. We'll get into more of that when we hear from Jeff T. Because I can't say he's wrong on his opinion regarding Zion. As I said earlier, Zion's in great shape. At least he looks it. And Jeff T. wasn't so bothered by Zion getting into great shape. He was bothered by the fact that Zion talked about now being in great shape and feeling the best he's felt since Duke. And, well, I'm not going to give it all away. I'll let Jeff Teague tell you about it. We'll get to what Nico Collins said because, Peña, I see you. We'll get to you here. Nico Collins is clearly the Texans' best offensive player right now. He hasn't had a great start to his year. The big fumble, of course. He does have 2 touchdowns already through 3 games. But when your offense scores less than 20, no one's going to be looked at that per game, no one's going to be looked at that favorably. So he's been fine. You would hope for more as we go forward. And it's funny when a guy who was a great player on a good team is now on a bad team, but they still talk like they're on a good team. Like L'Jarius Sneed was a good corner for the Chiefs. He's now a Titan. The Chiefs weren't going to pay him, so they traded him. And he got his money from the Titans. But he's still talking like he's got the Chiefs infrastructure around him. So he was asked about Nico Collins. And he went, who? Who? Look, you can have an individual matchup. And maybe you win your battle against Nico a couple times. But when you play for the Titans, I'm not sure where that energy is coming from, honestly. You've been there for a couple years now. And they've been bad. They wanted to be bad last year. Now they have a rookie quarterback, and they continue to be bad. So L'Jarius Sneed was disrespectful. We're going to hear a couple clips from Nico. Let's start with the one that's less aggressive. I'll put it that way, AJ. Considering how I labeled it, I think you know. Let's start with a less aggressive clip from Nico Collins.
Thoughts on going against Sneed on the other side?
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Can't wait for the matchup. Can't wait to get back on the field with the guys and play again. You know, that's the most important thing I'm most excited about, getting back out there with my teammates and my brothers. Going there, rocking out again, I swear, I bet.
He was asked about you, and he said who a couple times today.
Okay. Yeah, he knows who I am.
So that is what you would deem as typical from Nico Collins. Professional, but confident. You know, he knows who I am. Let's get to the more aggressive clip because the reporters kept going on it, and here's Nico Collins on who he is.
Sunday.
They know. Can't take advantage of that.
If somebody doesn't know you,
yeah.
What should they know about you after Sunday?
They know. Nah, my bad. I'm a dog. You know what I'm saying? I'm just me. I don't say much. I just play. You know what I'm saying? You can talk all you want. I'm not hearing it. You know, just line that shit up.
You heard him. I can't repeat it. It takes away some of the impact if I bleep myself. But you heard him. Line it up. So, while I don't know that Nico Collins wouldn't have had a big game either way, if you're trying to find some interest, we'll see if Snead follows Nico around. But Nico at least is aware of what L'Jarius Sneed said. And he simply said, line it up. I mean, you could fill in the word, I can't say. So that is something to look forward to at least. And, of course, you want to get a big win as well. 0-4 with two losses to the Jags and the Titans. Those mid-ass teams, and I'm being kind to the Titans when I say that, would be a problem and would just make all the noise, which, you know, we create ourselves being a talk show, just make it louder for the Texans. So let's avoid dropping a second consecutive division game, particularly when it's to the Titans. Let's get to Pena here. I think he tried to get in earlier with John Lance, couldn't get in, so he joins us. What's up, Pena?
Hello?
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, what's up? Sorry, I'm when y'all bring us in, like a little noise. But, hey, so the guy, John Schill and Bald Guy, what's his name? Hey, I decided to call into your show. They were talking about John Lance was saying that they don't feel that the Texans are going to resign, that C.J. Stroud isn't going to want to resign. If that is the case, if you were Nick Casario's spot and you had a feeling or you knew that he wasn't going to want to resign, how would you go about the situation? Thank you. Have a great day, Dale.
Yeah, appreciate it. So it was more in line of reckless speculation, and we're not above doing that, particularly on this show. It's just a show filled with nonsense for the most part. But, yeah, it came up this morning that if CJ was unhappy and didn't want to come back for reasons, and I think some of it has to do with who his agent is, it's just a perception that David Mulugeta will make sure to extract everything he can from a team, and if a player doesn't want to be there, not only will he extract what he can from you, then he'll make sure he gets traded to the team he wants to be and then get another deal. That's certainly been the case with Jalen Ramsey. And we know Deshaun got a deal, and when he wasn't happy, went and got another deal and got traded to Cleveland. Of course, you know all the other stuff surrounding that. But what I would do in a disaster scenario where the Texans want C.J. Stroud to return, once they want him to be their long-term quarterback, and he says, nah, I'm good, I want to go, you guys are harming what I can be as a player. You have to have the guts to go. We're opening up to trade talk. And you don't do it the way Nico Harrison did it. You don't do it the way Jerry did it. You open it up. You make it clear. Of course, it has to be during an offseason. You can't have it over your head during the season. But you make it pretty clear to those involved, even if it's not a public thing where reporters get wind of it, so it's now a thing you might have to answer questions about in the offseason. You got a little protection there. You say, hey, rest of the league, how much are you going to give up for CJ? Of course, you have to bring the agent in to allow him to negotiate a contract with the other team before you make a deal. Handle it like you did with Deshaun. It's a wide open auction in a way where, hey, you can't talk to our guy until you reach the type of compensation we want, and then we'll let you negotiate. Then we'll let you get into the nitty-gritty of how much guaranteed money and how many years and what the signing bonus is with the guy. But you have to reach our level. And then when we decide that you have, then you can then CJ, Mulugeta, and you can figure out if you're the best spot for him. But everyone who gets involved in this, before you get to talk to our player, you have to come with the picks. That's how you handle it. They handled it correctly the last time around. They have experience doing it with this agent and this position. I don't think that we're going to get there, but we've gotten there already, not in the not-too-distant past. So under the caveat that this is all speculation and there's nothing behind it to suggest that it would ever happen, you have a blueprint not that far, not that long ago. The Texans have done it. We hope that they don't have to. That would be bad. I mean, they won the Browns trade for Deshaun. That's been a disaster for the Browns. I don't know that trading two franchise quarterbacks as they were perceived in the span of, let's just say, 6 years looks good for your organization. Like, they'd be the opposite of the Colts, where the Colts walked into two franchise quarterbacks in a row. The Packers looked to have found three solidified franchise quarterbacks in a row. Give or take what you think of Jordan Love, but people feel like he could be a franchise quarterback. And those guys had very long careers with the Packers. If it turns out that the Texans have to trade another quarterback, woof. I mean, we make jokes about AJ seeing the Cowboys, but if you're trading away two alleged franchise quarterbacks in the span of a couple years, the joke should fly their way. Once again, it's just a question asked by a listener and, you know, a situation brought up by the two Hall of Famers. This show doesn't co-sign that. I don't think it's going to happen, but I can't rule it out because they've done it before and the agent involved is the same. Heath. Let's get to Heath here, actually. I was going to go to break, but let's get to Heath. We got some time. Heath wants to talk Texans. What's up? What's up, Heath?
Hey, Dale. I was just, what are your thoughts on maybe the Texans trying to bring in like a proven NFL caliber ex-head coach? Like, I mean, I know it's crazy, but like, see what John Gruden's doing, man, or Hugh Jackson, or somebody that's had some type of success, just to mentor this offensive group, you know, and try to get this thing straightened out before it gets too far out of hand.
Well, you would have to ask the question, if you're bringing in someone like John Gruden, is that a guy who wants to be simply an analyst or as you put it, a mentor, even as an OC? I don't think that's what John Gruden's looking for. If he's coming back to the NFL, it's to be a head coach. And that isn't happening here. If he has eyes on a head coaching spot, I don't feel like that's a fit. You have a head coach, at least you believe you have a head coach that can take you to where you want to go. So I would think John Gruden's out. I honestly thought you were going to ask about an ex-coordinator who has an established resume that you could bring in. But that coordinator has to have a philosophy that's somewhat similar to what you want. And we know DeMeco had a decision to make in the offseason. Did he want to go with the more spread it out? I would say like Bengals-like system where initially where they had Joe Burrow in the shotgun all the time and they had T. Higgins and they had Ja'Marr Chase and, of course, Joe Mixon was in the backfield and they had Tyler Boyd as well. That system fit more of what Joe Burrow was great at in college and that worked to great effect. Or did he want what we got? What was a under-center power running game system? He had a choice to make and he chose to find someone with the background in that. Now, from people who have analyzed the early portion of the season, we're getting more of a Patriots offense than we're getting a Rams offense. Nick Kelly spent time both places, and from people who can compare the two offenses, at least traditionally with Josh McDaniel and other Patriot coordinators and what Sean McVay's done with the Rams, we're more Patriots here than we are Texans, more Rams. And, of course, history has told you, doing it the Patriot way when you don't have Tom Brady doesn't work. So it has not worked here so far. I don't foresee a name like John Gruden coming here. But if we're talking about next year, because I don't know if anything's going to happen this year, it could get bad. Kaylee could be demoted. Maybe you hand the play calling stuff over to Gerard Johnson if it gets to that level. But as far as just flipping this thing, I don't see it happening in this season. But maybe if you're looking for a head coach who's done it before, maybe you look to the guy in Miami if things go poorly as it as poorly as they have gone for him so far this year. If he's available, maybe you go grab him, another former San Francisco guy, but at least with a certainly an established track record of calling plays and creating explosive offenses, at least in those first two seasons in Miami. And they weren't bad last year when Tua was on the field. So if we're looking for a name who's done it, maybe look to Miami if it comes to that next year. I think they're kind of stuck this year unless they decide to make a structural change, because D'Amico talked about it earlier, D'Amico Ryan's talked about it earlier, where they may want to go more up-tempo. Does that mean we're going full-on, spread it out, every play? I don't even know if they have the weapons to pull that off. You have Nico and a bunch of unproven guys, but that might be best for CJ considering what he did at Ohio State. But we'll see. We'll see what they look like on Sunday against the Titans if that becomes more of the approach. Maybe you don't get a personnel change as far as coaching. Maybe you get a structural change as far as how their offenses run. Or maybe that has to wait to the bye week, which is not that far away, actually. Maurice, I see you. You want to talk Texans? Hold on through the break, Maurice. It'll be short. We'll get to you. Anyone else want to follow him? 713-780-3776. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Dream Rate Mortgage, the ultimate mortgage hookup. Visit 975loans.com.
NMLS number 2482473, Equal Housing Lender.
Contact Tax Relief Helpers for details and restrictions.
Attention, anyone that owes money to the IRS. Every day, your unpaid tax debt gets bigger and bigger from daily interest. The longer you wait, the more you will end up paying. If you owe $10,000 or more, now is the time to settle your debt before the IRS takes aggressive action, like taking your wages or property. A special toll-free number has been established so you can stop penalty fees, avoid liens, levies, or other hostile measures by the IRS. Call Tax Relief Helpers right now.
I got behind on my taxes and owed $48,000. I called and they got my bill lowered to just $3,500.
I owed $87,000 in taxes and it was scary. I got the amount I owed down to just $3,500. I saved $83,500.
If you owe money to the IRS, don't wait another day. Your tax debt gets bigger and bigger from daily interest. Call right now before the IRS enforces liens, levies, or other aggressive measures. The call and consult are absolutely free. Call now.
Call 800-692-7009. 800-692-7009. That's 800-692-7009.
Okay, Texas, pop quiz. True or false? Walmart has more than half a billion items online. True. Find a huge selection online that you can't find in stores. True or false? Groceries always cost more when they're delivered. False. Walmart's grocery prices are the same for delivery as they are in-store. Last one. Walmart can deliver in as fast as an hour. True, y'all. Use Express Delivery to get eligible items to your doorstep before the pool party starts. Walmart. Who knew? Subject to availability. Fees and restrictions apply.
What are you doing every day to support your liver? If you enjoy sweets, fast food, alcohol, or take any medications, that's a vital question to ask. Hi, I'm Sherry Torkus, pharmacist and health author. For over 30 years, I've helped people make informed decisions about their health, especially concerning prevention and long-term wellness. Supporting your liver isn't just a wellness trend, it's a daily essential. That's why I recommend Active Liver by New Nordic. It's made with plant-based ingredients like milk thistle, turmeric, and globe artichoke, herbs clinically studied for their protective and restorative effects on the liver. Active Liver blends traditional herbal wisdom with modern scientific research. Not all supplements are created equal. I trust Active Liver because it's backed by science, meets strict quality standards, and delivers true daily liver support.
Protect your liver and give it the support that it deserves by making Active Liver from New Nordic part of your daily wellness routine. Find Active Liver in stores at your local CVS, Meijer Grocery, or online at Amazon or NewNordicUSA.com.
Hey, Houston, John Granato here. Chastain Ford is teaming up with the local Houston Food Bank for a local food drive happening September 15th through the 25th. They're collecting non-perishable items right at the dealership at 610 Loop East at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. It's all about giving back, and they're proud to be here for the community. So swing by, drop off your donations, and help them make a difference. That's Chastain Ford, where community comes first. ChastainFord.com.
Right. broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Maurice held through the break. We appreciate it, so we'll get to him right now. Maurice wants to talk some Texans. What's up?
Yes, hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Yeah, so I just wanted to chime in real quick. I got two quick things. All I want to say is I beg the O-line and I beg CJ, please at least bring two wins. Value losses, but from the looks of it, it looks like that's, you know, that's the most games, you know, like where it's been in a position where we at. Where it's only two wins. Now, mind you, if we backtrack, that's what happened that last time, how we wound up with CJ, when, you know, we just got them two wins, and there we are at the top pick to pick him. Now, the next thing is, I was going to say, can we entertain the fact that in case we do end up, like, you know, in the top three, and I'm not too sure what's going on with Arch, you know, Manning, but do you think that's a possibility if we end up, like, you know, again, in the top two, top three? Do you think, like, you know, that's it's possible for him to say, you know what, Texans, you know, are going to be picking, you know, up there, so I might just go ahead and come out of college for them. And that's about it, man. So appreciate you, and I'm going to be quiet now, and I'm going to listen.
I appreciate it, Maurice. So, if yes, we all hope they get at least two wins. But if they only win enough games to wind up in the top three, I think all bets are off as far as what you see next year. Because your quarterback, if he's healthy, if he remains healthy throughout the year, and he leads this team to a season that results in a top five pick, possibly even higher than that, then there are questions about him going forward, big ones. You have to ask how this team was built and how improperly they were constructed to get to a 2-3 win season. And then you have to ask, is your coach someone you want to go forward with? That's how big of a disaster what you are suggesting is. You're talking about a possibly a complete overhaul. The Texans have proven to be patient in the past. But dropping from two double-digit win seasons to not only out of the playoffs but being one of the worst teams in football means everyone has to be evaluated after the season. I don't foresee that happening. But as far as the scenario where they're so bad that they could be in a position to draft, at least Arch Manning before the year started, like the hype around Arch Manning where he was supposed to be a number one overall pick or something, if they're in a position to do that, I wouldn't bank on it being Arch, even if the Texans are involved, and that would be some dream scenario where he gets to stay in the state of Texas, even though he's not a native Texan. So he just chose the University of Texas to play football at. So I'm not sure he would even be swayed by that to come out. Arch ain't played enough good football to be at a point where he should be considering that, or anyone around him should be. Let's see if you can handle Florida's defense in the swamp before we have any real talks about leaving early. That stuff has been quieted down quite a bit. We all remember what it was like before the season. Now we're just happy when he can complete a pass and hit a guy in stride. He was better in his last game. He'll have a very different test against the Gators, although they're bad offensively. As long as they're still bought in defensively, they can be a problem. So I think the Arch conversation is kind of dead until he shows that all the expectations for him were warranted. Appreciate that call, Maurice, but you're suggesting a disaster scenario that no one really wants to consider. Because if we think 0-3 is bad, a long season talking about who the Texans should draft because they're stumbling towards a 4-3 win season, that's going to be tough to take. Of course, the win on Sunday is very much needed. But if you look at our potential win, I shouldn't say the win. That's no guarantee. But you look at their schedule after Sunday, it's the Ravens, then the bye, then they have to go to Seattle Monday night. And then you've got the Broncos. Actually, you got the 49ers at home and the Broncos at home. All teams who either made the playoffs last year, are in contention to make it this year, or have gotten off to good starts. The Ravens have not, but they're the Ravens, and they always kick the Texans' ass. So until proven otherwise, just pencil that in as a loss. And then you have to go to Seattle at night. That's rough. Very, very rough. But at least you'd be coming off a bye, and it's on Monday Night Football. So tough stuff for the Texans going forward. They got to dig themselves out of a hole. And unfortunately, it's one they put themselves in. And I'm not even going to use what has happened the first three games to say they put themselves in a hole. I think they set themselves up for that by how they approached the offseason with the first-time play caller, with the questionable offensive line, and banking on Nick Chubb as your lead back when you knew Joe Mixon was suffering through a long-term injury. They did go and trade up for Woody Marks, but Nick Chubb, at this point in his career, should not be your primary back. I don't know if they thought Joe Mixon was going to come back earlier than what he is slated to, but it's 2025, and Nick Chubb is your best back, and Damian Pierce is a no-go, and it's Woody Marks and Dare through the first 3 weeks. That's poor planning. It's running backs. It's hard to go get a great one, and I understand that. But Nick Chubb cannot be your starter, not at this point. He's fine. He'll get you what's there, but he's not a top talent anymore. Let's go to Jerry. Jerry wants to talk Texans. What's up?
Hello.
Hey, yeah, go ahead, Jerry.
I mean, halfway through the season, we really shouldn't be talking about draft trades and draft stock and whatnot. Look, the offense is boring. It's boring to watch, but the Texans have had just key moments where they could honestly at worst be 2-1. If Toto would have got Baker and if Nico Collins wouldn't have fumbled late in the fourth, like it's just key moments that the Texans have just been on the wrong side of it. I personally do watch the games, and yes, the offense is boring. I'm hoping that, you know, being 0-3, that they'll finally just open up the playbook today, because if it's going to be like this all year, then yeah, it's going to be a bad year. The Texans are boring as the Astros playing the last two nights. So I think we'll be all right. You know, they'll get a dub this weekend, but hopefully they just open up the playbook going forward. Thank you.
It is what people have called for. Be more like what CJ was in college. And while I don't really even disagree that they should change some things up, I do question whether a coaching staff would do it. All that install stuff you did in training camp, all the things you thought this offense would be, would they be so quick to toss it aside and be a different offense completely? I have my doubts just watching how coaches operate. Very few of them are so willing to adapt quickly, even when there's a clear problem. As I said, I could see it happening during a bye week, and their bye week would come up after the Ravens game. I could see something like a drastic change happening then. I just don't see coaches cleaning the board, starting over, changing philosophies this early in the year, particularly with a new play caller. How sure are we that he's going to be capable of flipping what they're supposed to be? And does D'Amico want them to flip what they're supposed to be? There, you can talk about how you want to go more up-tempo. You can talk about how you want to maybe spread things out occasionally. But do you want to go full on and have a different mentality for your offense the rest of the way? That's the real test of who they think they can be. Coaches generally like to be stubborn, even if they don't believe they're being stubborn. It's just who they are. They got to a certain level doing it this way. They generally like to keep doing it that way. That's why some of the greats are the great, because they can flip pretty quickly when they see things are going poorly. it's a test for DeMeco. And if he believes that the offense would operate better with CJ being more in the shotgun and four wide and got five in the pattern, I would suggest doing it if you think your OC and your O-line coach and that offensive staff is capable of implementing it. Just not sure, considering the lack of experience in those rooms. Not sure they're capable of that. Chase, hold on. We'll get to you when we come back. You want to talk Texans as well. If you want to follow him up, 713-780-3776. And I will agree with Jerry on one thing. It is too soon to be talking about the draft, but I'm just taking the calls as they come. I think the season has gone away. That's unexpected for people. You win the division 2 years in a row, win a playoff game, people think you're going to be good. But if you kind of look closely, you could see some of this coming. But you thought you could find a way to squeeze out some wins, but you have not been able to. The one-score games have not gone your way like they have in the past, and now you're stuck trying to avoid 0-4. We'll talk to Chase and anyone else when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
McGrath Pest Control, basically hired killers. See their killing menu at McGrathPestControl.com.
Attention taxpayers, if you owe $5,000 or more and have missed another tax deadline, you're officially on the IRS's radar. The IRS has resumed aggressive collections. That means wage garnishments, bank levies, even seizures of your home, car, or retirement accounts. If you owe $5,000 or more and missed the deadline, you're stacking new debt on top of what you already owe. Call Priority Tax Relief now. Their experts fight back fast and are saving their clients millions in tax debt every month.
I owed over $50,000. And they settled it for pennies on the dollar. These guys are as legit as they come.
After speaking on my behalf with the IRS, my entire debt of $25,000 will be eliminated.
Whether you've received collection letters or you're already facing liens and garnishments, call for your free consultation. There are no upfront fees. Priority Tax Relief. Let's make your taxes our priority. Call 800-860-6195. 800-860-6195. 800-860-6195.
Priority Tax.
Hey parents, Jeremy Branham here. Want to transform your driveway into a pro-level court? Pro Dunk basketball goals are the real deal. Their revolutionary lightning adjust system lets you change heights in seconds, from regulation 10 feet down to 5 feet, so the whole family can play. Build commercial grade materials that stand up to Houston weather. Get your kids off those screens and onto the court. Pro Dunk, the choice of serious ballers. Visit ProDunk.com today. That's ProDunk.com.
Get in on exciting gaming action at La Berge Casino Resort Lake Charles. Introducing our new exclusive statewide table progressives. We've linked our table game progressives between four Penn Play destinations in Louisiana. That means our big payouts just got bigger. No matter which location you choose, you have a shot at these combined jackpots. Get to La Berge Lake Charles or Baton Rouge, Boomtown, New Orleans, or Margaritaville, Bossier City, and get ready for big payouts.
Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Houston, have you tried Portillo's yet? Portillo's brings authentic Chicago-style flavor with their slow-roasted Italian beef, Chicago-style hot dogs, char-broiled burgers, and crinkle-cut fries with cheese sauce. Save room for their famous chocolate cake and cake shake. Eat in, drive through, or order online. Now with 5 Houston locations. Find yours at Portillo's.com. That's Portillo's.com.
John Granato here. You know what the bosses here did? They bought an unlimited corporate membership at East River 9. You know what that means? More golf for me. East River 9 is offering annual memberships for individuals, families, and your business. Unlimited golf, exclusive promos at the Riverhouse Restaurant, and much more. Spots are filling up fast. Reach out today to secure your spot. Sign up online at eastriver9.com or call the Pro Shop at 713-913-7033. I'll see you on the links, baby, at East River 9 with our unlimited membership.
Hey, sports fans, Nick of Nick's Place here. Are you looking for a place to watch your sports, eat like a boss, and chill with your friends? Well, since 1993, Nick's Place has been that place. Yeah, I know we're kind of a dive bar, but you won't find any other place like it. We have every sports package and a menu that's to dive for. Cheap beer, craft cocktails, and 27 different bottles of wine. This is not your typical dive bar. Come check us out. Since 1993, same location, Rocky Ridge and Westheimer, it's Nick's Place.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
We'll get to Chase, and then AJ and I are going to have a discussion about what type of people we are. We'll talk about that after we talk to Chase. What's up, Chase?
Hey, what's going on? I just wanted to see what you think about your boy, Mike McDaniel, after he gets fired, come to the Texans and being the offensive coordinator, because I don't think he's a great head coach, but there's no doubt he's, you know, a top 10 offensive mind in the sport. So I just want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit earlier. He is in some trouble, and he's a year ahead of the DeMeco plan. Because he got hired the year before. He made the playoffs a couple years in a row, just like DeMeco did, was unable to win a game. First year, didn't have a starting quarterback in the game. They played the Bills in Buffalo. Second year, Tua was healthy, but they played in one of the colder games in NFL history, lost to the Chiefs. Last year, Tua wasn't healthy, didn't make the playoffs. So, as far as ex-49er assistants and how they go through 3 years, DeMeco's kind of following the same path. Thankfully for him, he didn't have the Bills in his division, so he could win it a couple times and play home games in the playoffs. So, yeah, he could be next. We'll see his next chance to save his job on Monday night. He and the Dolphins play the Jets. It's a doubleheader, so you don't have to completely focus on two 0-3 football teams. Who else is playing? It's Bengals and the
Broncos.
Yeah, so the Bengals coming off a blowout loss, and the Broncos are 1-2. So it ain't exactly thrilling football we're about to see on Monday night for two games, but at least it's football, I guess. Yeah, Mike McDaniel is an option. Now, his owner, Stephen Ross, said he's going to be patient, and they've got the Jets and the Panthers. I think patience will run thin if he can't squeeze out two wins against those two bad football teams. But, of course, when you're a bad football team, you are open to getting beat by other bad football teams. So, yeah, if people are dreaming of a scenario where you get creativity and an offense that isn't boring, as Jerry said, then keep rooting for my misery, because then Mike McDaniel will likely be available for you if DeMeco wants to make that hire. Be on the lookout for that. But that's still you waiting until next year. Even when he gets fired, if he does get fired, I don't think Mike McDaniel's your OC in 2025. And if he is available, and he is your OC, 2026. And if he is your OC in 2026, that means you went through an awful year anyway. So if you're rooting for my misery, just acknowledge you're going to be miserable too this year. That's all I'm saying. Okay, as far as what type of people are AJ and I. So Cal Raleigh hit a 60th home run yesterday. A catcher hitting 60 home runs, a big deal. Most home runs in the AL since who? Maris, I think, right? I'm not a baseball historian. I just know the National League had all the boppers. That can mean two different things, but let's talk about it in baseball ways. Of course, Bonds, McGuire, Sosa all eclipse the 61 number, but I think Maris still holds that number for most home runs in the American League. Very well could be wrong. But either way, a catcher hitting 60. So that ball was caught by someone. It's going to be worth something. You know how I know? Because even Tony Hawk's skateboard that he used for when he did the 900 way back when just went for like $1.15 million. So there's money to be had when you have a historic thing, whether it be a skateboard or baseball. So a fan caught the baseball. Oh, I was correct. The judge hit 62 in 2022. Thank you for that. That's my guy, KJ, with that, I believe. So judge did hit 62. But 60 home runs for Cal Raleigh, most ever by a catcher. You catch that baseball. Are you giving it up to a kid, or are we looking to make a plan to cash in? So a fan caught it, and I guess a kid either – I don't think he, like, ran the kid over. It just happened to land in this guy's hands, and he saw a kid, and he gave it to him. You know what? Unless you're Cal Raleigh's kid, I'm not giving you that baseball. And even then, there's a real question about whether I give it to you. Right. I'm not giving up the 60th home run. I know what these things go for. I don't have a guy for that. I don't know, but I will find one. I'm not giving up a baseball. I don't know that kid. Look, kid, you're probably like 11 or 12. You've got a long life ahead of you. let's learn some disappointment early. I'm not handing him the baseball. Sorry, I'm not bowing to peer pressure. I'm not listening to anyone going, give the kid the ball. No, I can't. For me specifically, I'm only there to catch Kyle Raleigh's baseball. I'm not at a Mariners game for any other reason than get that baseball. I'm not handing the baseball to the kid. We're trying to get a bag. At least that's me. AJ may be less cynical than me. Where are you at?
Actually, I'd probably give it too.
See, what are we doing? If it's Kyle Raleigh's 52nd home run and I catch your kid, you want right. to fight. Yeah. But a round number like 60?
Yeah.
And the Mariners can't get it off him either. Oh, well, season tickets, Cal Raleigh bat, helmet, whatever. No, come up off that cash. So, yeah, I mean, good story. Good, maybe the fan gets something out of it where he's acknowledged for being a good guy, and maybe he is able to get something from the Mariners. But for me, I'm a forward thinker when it comes to stuff like that. If I bought a ticket, as I said, I'm only there to catch a baseball, Cal Raleigh's baseball. Let's go. How much is a 60th home run from Cal Raleigh worth? Of course, if he goes on to hit, now you got to hope he doesn't hit anymore. Like if he breaks Judge's record, then of course that ball's more valuable than anyone can have my ball. I'm sure you could probably still sell it for something. But yeah, he's at 60. Can he get to 63 in the next couple of games? The Mariners have clinched. I'm sure they'll give him the opportunity to do it. But you know, if he's going into the final day of the year and he's still at 60, they probably aren't going to run him out there to get to 63. So he'll probably get that day off with everything pretty much clinched. Oh, everything clinched for them. So we'll see if Judge's record can be broken. But what an accomplishment for Cal Raleigh and for a catcher to do that. Pretty nuts. Certainly, the Mariners with him and their trade deadline acquisitions. Cleaned up late in August and September to make this playoff push, and the Astros are suffering the consequences of the Mariners turning it on. Still got four games to go to find a way to make the playoffs. Need the Tigers to continue to lose, and you got to find a way to win. Correa was asked about it. You know, they asked him about what they need to do, and he said, "Win out. 3 out of 4." And 1 out of 4 for the Tigers would do it. But, yeah, winning out. Because hoping the Tigers will continue to lose. Certainly worked out for the Guardians, and they took part in helping the Tigers lose. But with the Astros' luck, all of a sudden the Tigers will figure it out, no matter how many games that the Astros win along the way. So, yeah, taking the next 4, probably needed, and we'll see if that'll be enough. All right, Julian wants to talk about what type of people we are, or maybe what type of person he is. What's up, Julian?
Simple. FBK. Have a good one.
I normally can get acronyms. Do you know what that meant?
SDK. Oh, I'm not sure.
Yeah. I don't know if you said F or S. You want to call back and inform us? The intern can take your call, I guess. But I know what CTC means, cash those checks. That's what I would be doing with that baseball. So credit to that fan. Couldn't be me is what I'd say. Got to have some foresight, buddy. Maybe take that kid's information. If Raleigh hits like 2 more. Oh, KJ's telling me he said FTK. I get that. All right. I mean, that's a little harsh for the kid. I mean, it's funny when you put it on Michael Jordan's face as a meme. Yeah. But when you call in and say it hits a little different. Sure. And as it involves internet stuff, it's funny. Michael Jordan, F them kids, whatever. But come on. You know, the kid just learns a lesson that sometimes you don't always win. But shout out, as I said, to that fan. Just could not be me. All right, we got one more segment to go. We will hear from Jeff Teague. Look, we've done a lot of Texans, some Astros. We were going to get to the Rockets. Maybe we'll save it for tomorrow. Depends on how this Jeff Teague sound hits us. But it's, honestly, it's my favorite thing I've heard in the last 24 hours. Jeff Teague, who has been very honest about not caring that much about winning a title with the Bucks because he barely played and just wanted to get home and find a party to go to. This is the type of guy we're talking about. And even he had an issue with Zion Williamson's approach to the game. We'll hear that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
This is Ron Insano with your market scoreboard report on ESPN 97.5.
After yesterday's slide, stocks are under modest pressure again this morning. Very small declines for the major averages, but declines nonetheless as interest rates continue to tick higher this morning. The yield on the 10-year note approaching 4.17%, while the dollar is flat. European markets down across the board. Asia was mixed in overnight trade, and we're seeing some movement in oil prices again to the downside after a rebound yesterday off 35 cents to $64.64. Barrel. Gold rebounding after sliding yesterday up nearly $10 to $37.78 the ounce on a day in which we're going to get a lot of economic data. We're going to get durable goods orders. We're going to get the final look at second quarter GDP, jobless claims, and existing single-family home sales, all of which are due out this morning and could affect the market's behavior and the outlook for interest rate policy at the Federal Reserve. For now, however, it's a relatively quiet but downward start to the morning as we move through the holidays. As they like to say on Wall Street, you sell Rosh Hashanah and buy Yom Kippur. So far, they've been selling Rosh Hashanah.
Contact Tax Relief Helpers for details and restrictions.
Attention, anyone that owes money to the IRS. Every day, your unpaid tax debt gets bigger and bigger from daily interest. The longer you wait, the more you will end up paying. If you owe $10,000 or more, now is the time to settle your debt before the IRS takes aggressive action, like taking your wages or property. A special toll-free number has been established so you can stop penalty fees, avoid liens, levies, or other hostile measures by the IRS. Call Tax Relief Helpers right now.
I got behind on my taxes and owed $48,000. I called and they got my bill lowered to just $3,500.
I owed $87,000 in taxes and it was scary. I got the amount I owed down to just $3,500. I saved $83,500.
If you owe money to the IRS, don't wait another day. Your tax debt gets bigger and bigger from daily interest. Call right now before the IRS enforces liens, levies, or other aggressive measures. The call and consult are absolutely free. Call now.
Call 800-692-7009. 800-692-7009. That's 800-692-7009.
I just bought another house for cash. Sell me yours at greenlightoffer.com.
Hey, Texans fans. Sean Mapes here. You know every game counts, so don't miss a moment of the action this season on Prize Picks. Make your picks on your favorite Houston Stars and Battle Red all season long. Prize Picks is the best way to win cash this football season. You've been waiting all offseason preparing for this moment. Which players are going to go off? Which ones aren't? Make your picks, and in less than 60 seconds, you can turn your takes into cash all season long. Prize Picks is simple to play. All you have to do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. If you get your picks right, you can cash in. And don't worry about injuries, because Prize Picks also offers injury reboots. If one of your players leaves the game in the first half and doesn't return, Prize Picks won't count it as a loss. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
Must be present in certain states. Visit PrizePicks.com for restrictions and details.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So we'll get to the Jeff Teague thing, but some responses to the question about what type of people we are. As I mentioned, KJ texted me and he also tweeted me. He also said FTK, I'm making all that money, I can't off that ball. Childish Altuve asked I don't know how to put this. He asked a question that fits the show, I guess, I would say. Would you give up that ball for an hour, no holds barred, with Scarlett Johansson? She's not a hooker. What do you, an hour? What do you, stop it. She's a Hollywood actress. Yes, we had La Salsa always calling about OnlyFans models and would a certain actress become one? But no, that's an inappropriate question, okay? Because she doesn't live that type of life. She's a mother, I believe, and a wife as well. So how dare you, Art? And no, FTK doesn't mean Funk Todd Callis either. It doesn't mean that. We found out what that means once we knew what Julian actually said. Okay. all that seriousness aside, let's get to Jeff Teague. Jeff Teague, what does he hold? Is it the 520 podcast? He hosts the 520 podcast. His brother's now on it quite a bit. A couple of his boys are there as well. And Zion Williamson at Pelicans Media Day showed up in great shape, in better shape than we maybe have ever seen him. Because even at Duke, he wasn't like ripped. He didn't balloon up to what he has been at times in the NBA. But Zion looks good, at least aesthetically. We'll see what he looks like on the court and if he can stay healthy. And some of Zion's comments were saying he finally feels good and he believes that they believe in him and a lot of things that Jeff Teague took issue with. Here's Jeff Teague on Zion's comments.
This is probably the dumbest press conference I ever heard in my life. All this stuff is because of you. You choose to eat, be out of shape, all that. Now all of a sudden it's a contract year probably. Or you looking for an extension.
No,
all of a sudden he in shape. And they believe in me. Fool, they gave you a max deal. They've been believed in you.
Yeah.
But they had to put all them options on there because you ain't believe in you. Like, that's dumb as hell. That press conference is dumb.
He said, hey, they embraced me. It meant a lot.
Man, they embraced you when they first got here. What are you talking about?
Yeah, he was playing with the church's money.
One was out of shape.
Yeah, we have been talking about his shape for, like, too long.
Come on, bro. And you decided to, like, lock in and do what pro athletes do. Take care of themselves.
Yeah.
Well, I ain't, man, hell no. Nah. I'm off that.
Jeff Teague, part of the Club 520 podcast. Zion's, if you don't remember, is actually in this division. He plays for the Pelicans, who are in the Texans, the Rockets division. They're not a threat because of the Pelicans. They're kind of a clownish organization. But part of that has to do with the fact that they could never be sure that Zion was going to be available. He looks like he's got a shot to play a lot of games. He's approached this season in a way that he hasn't in the past. Don't think they're a real threat to the Rockets. But if Zion's good, then maybe the Pelicans can be a fringe playoff team. But, yeah, as I said it up before, Jeff Teague has a very funny approach to talking about the game. But even he was disgusted by Zion Williamson. And if you're a Pelican fan, you're like, okay, great. Are you going to play 65 to 70 games, or are we going to have to worry about you missing time or ballooning up? I looked at Zion's contract because I heard the comments from Jeff Teague about maybe he's in a contract year. He does have all those non-guaranteed options where if at a certain point in the offseason the Pelicans want to get rid of him every year, they can kind of void those years. But he's not in a contract year, and I can't imagine the Pelicans looking to give him an extension, not at this point. Go out there and play. Can you give me 60-plus games? I'm not even asking for you to reach 65 where you can start winning NBA awards. Give me 60-something. A couple years in a row to make us feel good about possibly giving you an extension. So we'll get more and more into basketball as we go forward because it may be the only thing that's got any positive feelings in this city the way things are going. But as Jerry said, it's early with the Texans. They got a hole that they got to climb out of, and it starts on Sunday against the Titans. Certainly we'll find out if Stingley's back at practice. He missed practice, if you didn't hear that. He missed practice on Wednesday. We know he left the game against the Jags early. So that abductor hip rib thing, whatever it is, it is bothering him. And it has hurt his play. So we need to see if he can get back out there. And it should be a day. If we go by what Nico was on in his availability yesterday, he may be a little bit more motivated than normal considering how L'Jarius Sneed was talking about him. Who? A little disrespectful. It's a little disrespectful for a guy who plays for the Titans. That specifically. I don't care that L'Jarius Sneed's a pretty good player. You ain't on the Chiefs anymore. You can't talk like that. When you're on the Chiefs, it would bother us, but at least you have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes to back you up to help you win a game. I like Cam Ward. He's my guy. But stop it. Just don't talk when you're 0-3 as well. We'll see what Nico has for L'Jarius Sneed on Sunday. We're done for the day. We'll get to the Rockets stuff tomorrow. There are questions about whether they should trade for a point guard, or will they just stick with what they have and see how it works out? I would think they're going to let this play out a little bit, and if they see a real problem because the likes of Aaron Holiday or Reed Shepard or maybe even Amen at point guard isn't the right fit, they can make a move. They'll have the assets to do it, but I think they'll give their current roster a chance before they make a major shakeup. But people are looking and seeing that the Rockets may be a contender that needs some more help. So we'll get more into that tomorrow. AJ will join me again tomorrow. We'll have Michael Carroll as well tomorrow. So if you want to talk to Michael Carroll about what you've watched or what you think we should watch, 713-780-3776 is the number. You'll do that at 11:30 tomorrow. He is the host of Comicast. He joins us every Friday if he can. AJ, that music means we're done. So since we're done for the day, what does that mean?
Well, nobody want me to do this, is it?
Nah, man, you're a new father. You got a kid with a prominent woman. No one wants you to date their sister, Stephon Diggs. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow.